will have ears to hear, an open heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I ask you now, Lord, to speak through my mouth, think through my mind, use this vessel for your glory, that I might feed the people of God. And not just those that are born again, but also minister to those that don't yet know you. So I thank you for that, Father. And dear Lord, we're going to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And I want to minister to you tonight with the subject, the spiritual-minded church, or a spiritually-minded church. Now, usually when we say church, we think of it in a group setting. But, you know, such as we have here this evening. But the church, first of all, is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God tells us that He is the head, and we are His body. We are the church. And I know we call physical structures churches, where the saints of God gather and to worship the Lord and to hear the Word of God. We call that churches, and that's okay. But actually, we are the church. Amen. And here's the thing. We are a church collectively, and we are a church individually. Amen. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of individual members. And I'm so glad that I'm part of His body. Amen. I'm a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
But let me tell you something. The church must be spiritually minded. We must be spiritually minded. So I want to read from Romans chapter 8, and I'll read verse 6. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want you, well, first of all, before we move over a few pages here, I want you to understand something, because sometimes when people hear things like spiritually minded, the ones, especially the ones that don't know God, they can have a whole different perception of what we're talking about. Because we understand that there are all types of spirits out there, isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's the Holy Spirit. Glory to God.
Amen.
I have him in my life. Amen. But there are other spirits out there. And those other spirits are trying to control mankind. As a matter of fact, and I think you've heard me say this before, you know, they're spirits of darkness, demonic spirits, devilish spirits, in other words, spirits of the devil. And they are hungry to be heard, to be seen. They want to change your life. Matter of fact, they want to destroy your life. Matter of fact, they want to eventually send you to a devil's hell for all eternity. I heard, I may not be using the exact same figures that I heard the other day, but I heard a minister say, you know, referring to anyone that's gone to hell, and this would be the same for heaven as well, but I use my own numbers. But think about this for a moment. For those that go to hell, after they've been there a million years, they will still have not used up any time. And you can use any figure you choose. The result would be the same. And that's the reason, saints of God, we've got to preach the gospel. That's the reason we've got to get the word of God out there. That's the reason we've got to be spiritually minded. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that the devil wants to leave you alone. I mean, we see this with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who never sinned. But yet, he was tempted, wasn't he? Am I right? Amen. Yeah. He was tempted by the devil. The Bible says, let me say this again, the Bible says he was tempted by the devil. And now let me throw this in while I'm on that subject, because the devil doesn't change his tactics. They're all the same. You notice that the devil tempted him at his weakest point. Now here, stay with me on this. He tempted him at his weakest point physically. His body hadn't had any food for 40 days and 40 nights. But what he didn't factor in was Jesus was at his highest point spiritually. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. That's the reason the devil tries to attack us at our weakest point. It can be physically, it can be emotionally, folk just won't act right. It can be a number of things. Am I right? And he can come at you. Don't you ever let him catch you spiritually lacking. Because you can be weak physically. But if you are full of his word and you're in fellowship with him, he can't defeat you. Hallelujah. Look at the Apostle Paul. He talks about it, all that he went through. But yet, Paul remained spiritually strong. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He had the mind of Christ, and the devil couldn't defeat it. And so, on his day of departure, what did he say? I finished my course. I kept the faith. I'm ready to go. I'm leaving out of here victorious. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let me get back to what I was going to say earlier, and then we'll move on. Demons have their widest range of expression through human beings. That's the reason they want to possess human beings. That's the reason they want to oppress human beings. And you can see this biblically. We don't have time to go into it. But just read the Gospels, for example. Read the book of Acts, for example. And you'll find out folks that were either possessed by the devil or highly influenced by the devil. And we see it in this world that we're living in today. All you have to do is turn on the news. Hallelujah. But we must remain spiritually minded. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, turn in your Bibles. Just flip over a few pages to chapter 12. Verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? How? By the renewing of your mind. Becoming spiritually minded. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You hear me say it all the time. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason we're here. Amen. God has a will for our lives. Every one of you. I said every one of you. God has a will for your life. Sometimes folks say, well, you know, all I want to do is just, you know, just get saved and just go on to heaven. Well, Jesus did come to save the lost. But you know what? We can't be selfish, can we? We can't be selfish. Thank God for his shed blood. I thank God that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad the old man is gone. I'm glad he's gone. And I can shout about that freely. Amen. But I cannot be selfish. I've got to share him with someone else. Now, matter of fact, let's take a look at that. All right. I was going to stop at verse 2, but we'll read on. Let me begin again at verse 1, and we'll read straight through, and you'll see how all this tie together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that's what we are all supposed to do, present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice, presented holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, our reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, let me read that again. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Hallelujah. Now listen, I want you to see how this tie together. Look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body. Remember I told you we're the church. But the church has many members. We are the body of Christ. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Those of you that's in here, amen, I'm looking around. You know, God put each one of us here to do something special for him. Matter of fact, why don't you do something for me right now before I continue on? Find at least two people, if there's nobody sitting close to you, you can just tell them across the way, but find two people and tell them God has a special purpose for you. Amen. If he didn't have a purpose for us, then why didn't we all just die after we got saved? You know, you get saved, you're going to heaven. Amen. So now let's go back. Verse 5 again. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then what? Having what? Gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us do what? Huh? Say what? Y'all breaking up. I can't hear you real good. Say what? Amen. Let us use them. Hallelujah. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, that's serving, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in what? Teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberty. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now I want to back up just a minute. We're still talking about being spiritually minded. But see, there's an important reason for us to be spiritually minded. Amen. All right? Let's look at verse 6 again. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy proportion to our faith. That means then someone needs to hear a word of exhortation. Or maybe some direction for their lives. In other words, there are some folks that need to hear from God. Let me say that again. There are some folks that need to hear from God. Not from them, from God. Aren't we vessels? We're vessels for God. Hallelujah. Are you still here? And it goes on to say, our ministry, guess what? Someone needs your ministry or your service. So let us, you know, if God has gifted you that way, use it. Be a blessing to somebody. For the glory of God. If teaching, then teach. I remember a pastor friend of mine, Kathy and mine, we were good friends with he and his wife, and he's with Jesus now. And have been for a number of years. But I remember we were at a meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina. These are years ago. Matter of fact, Jim Baker was the speaker at that meeting, and it was a bunch of folk there. And Kathy and I went, and our friends were there. We sat with them. And I remember her asking me, now I was not pastoring anything, you know. Matter of fact, I wasn't doing anything really to speak of much. But she asked me, she says, James, what's God's calling on your life, or how has God gifted you? And I wasn't expecting that question. It just came out of nowhere. But I heard myself saying this, and I thought, what are you saying? But I heard myself saying this, God's called me as a teacher. Teacher. Well, once it was said, it was said. And I thought, wow, that's part of my calling, to teach the word of God. I wasn't even pastoring then. But I knew that's part of my calling. Now, that doesn't mean you just go out there and teach any and everything. You know, you got to have your mind renewed. You got to study the word of God. Word of God tells us to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly, everybody say rightly. Rightly. Say it again. Rightly. Rightly dividing the word of God. Amen. So that means you need to get prepared. Some folks are called in the fivefold ministry and God calls them. And they jump out and go too soon. They're not ready, and they get out there and mess people up. I knew I was called a pastor also long before I ever pastored anybody, but when I found out about the calling, I was not ready to pastor right then. I needed to prepare myself. Y'all hear me? I need to get prepared. Amen. And sometimes you can get so excited, and this almost happened to me. Sometimes you can get so excited about the calling of God on your life, you can get out ahead of God. And I know back then, if I'd have got out ahead of God, I'd have messed some folk up. God didn't call us to mess people up, did he? He did not. He didn't call us to mess folk up. He called us to be a blessing to folk and to walk and minister in our calling or gifting. Amen. And while I'm on that subject, let me say this. I'm seeing it a lot today, but it's always been out there. When you realize that God has a calling on your life, or you understand more clear what God wants you to do, too many people refuse to submit to anybody else. Can I tell you something? There's the fivefold ministry. Y'all know that, right? What's the first one? Somebody tell me. Apostle. Prophet. Evangelist. Pastor. And teacher. Can I tell you something? You ready for this? Every apostle needs a pastor. Every prophet needs a pastor. Every evangelist needs a pastor. Every pastor needs a pastor. My pastor just went home to be with the Lord. Glory to God. But because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm not going to submit to anybody. Every teacher needs a pastor. Pastor is a shepherd. And he's to shepherd the sheep, feed the sheep, not beat the sheep up. Amen. Am I right? No, that's not our job. Our job is to feed the sheep. And of course, there are times when you have to make corrections, and that just comes with the job. But I'm gonna tell you right now, I enjoy more teaching God's word and ministering God's word to his people than I do having to correct anybody. But I, you know, can't get away from it. Sometimes you have to do that. That comes with the job. Sometimes being a pastor, you're not very popular. You got folk mad at you. But that's part of the job. Amen? I said amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. So, we should want and pursue the giftings and callings upon our lives so that we can be more productive in the kingdom of God. And again, let me clarify, because some folks, when you think of, when you use the word calling, they automatically think of the fivefold ministry. Well, I guess I'm going to be an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor, whatever. It's amazing that a lot of people that I've been around, they want the first four, not too many interested in the fifth, the teacher. But it's part of the fivefold ministry, it is. I mean, growing up, you didn't hear much about teachers unless they were Sunday school teachers. You know, have the little, Sunday school quarterly? And there's nothing wrong with Sunday school teachers. Praise God for them. But for a long time, that's the only teacher I knew about. Until I got in the Word of God and found out that there are teachers that are called of God, anointed of God. Amen. And they are a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Y'all still here. So, glory to God. The end of verse 6 says, prophesy in proportion to our faith, our ministry, let us use our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts. You know, there's some folks, listen. There's some folks that's just a blessing. I mean, they are anointed, they're gifted, and they don't go around acting, like, okay, I'm all that. No, but when they speak to you, you are blessed. They bring peace to your life. Y'all ever met anybody like that? Amen. I mean, they comfort you. Praise God. They exhort you. Maybe you feel like giving up, you're ready to quit, and they just give you a word that just pumps you back up, and you say, I'm ready to go. I'm not going to quit. I can beat this thing. God's got people like that. I said, God's got people like that. You may be one of them. I don't know. You may be one of them. God may have gifted you to just encourage people, pump people up, make them feel good about themselves. You can sing that song that the old folk used to sing when I was growing up, make you feel like, I believe I'll travel on and see what the end's going to be. I'm not going to quit. Amen. Are you singing it? Yeah. Oh, that run on? Okay, run on. Run on, travel on, whichever. Glory to God. Amen. Now, let me tell you how important, and I'm going to close here in just a few minutes, but let me tell you how vitally important it is for us to renew our minds and to develop our minds in the Word of God and in the things of God. And we've been here before. Flip forward, to the book of Galatians. The sixth chapter. Amen. God needs you. Yeah, but I need God. Amen. He's everything you need him to be, but he needs you in the earth. You hear me? He needs you in the earth. And here's one of the reasons that we need to be spiritually minded and stay spiritually minded. Brethren, If any man is overtaken in any trespass, how many of you know people have issues? Sometimes they stumble. Sometimes Christians stumble. And too many times, if you're not spiritually minded, you're ready to beat them up. They're already down and you're kicking them. They're down and they're hurting and you're kicking them. No, you shouldn't act that way. But that's not what the Word of God says. Brethren, if any man, and that when it says man, that's man or woman, is overtaken in any trespass, you who are what? You who are what? You who are spiritual, do what? Stop right there. Restore. Sometimes we can get so mad at people, so disappointed in people and the way they act. In our own natural mind, we want to see something bad happen to them, so teach them a lesson. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not the only one on earth, so will you raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about? Come on, let's be honest. Can we be honest tonight? At some time in your life, and I'm going to raise my hand too, at some time in your life, has it ever been a person that so bugged you or aggravated you or got on your last nerve that you just wish God would do something to them, that teach them a big lesson? Anybody, if there's any hands out there, yeah, because we all human, and the rest of y'all need to tell the truth too. Amen. But see, that's not the right attitude to have. The right attitude is to get them back. If you can help them get back, that's what we are called to do. And that's the reason Jesus talks about the prodigal son that got his inheritance, took off, and blew it all. Maybe you know somebody like that. Just went to the world. And your natural self says, serve you right. You shouldn't have never left. Well, they probably shouldn't have never left, but you know what? The best thing for them is to be restored. And that father had the right idea when he saw his son. And you know what his son did? He told him, he said, Father, I sinned. I messed up. He went on to say, matter of fact, I don't even deserve to be your son. Be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. That's fine enough for me. Make me one of your hired servants. Now, some natural thinking person is that, well, you know you're right. I'm disappointed in you. But I will hire you at minimum wage. Now, the dad said, you are my son. Come on, we're gonna party. And why was the dad so excited? Because the son was back. He had been what? Restored. He had been restored. And those of us that are believers, we need to be restoration minded. That don't mean we tolerate sin or should I say agree with sin and that sort of thing. No, thank God for praying mothers. I had a praying mother, but I think more than mama prayed for me. I just believe. I'll find out one day when we all get to heaven. I find out who all were praying for me, but I believe it was more than mama. Matter of fact, I think it was some folks that didn't even know me was somewhere, maybe somewhere else in the world, but praying in other tongues, and it was reaching me right where I was. Anybody else believe that? Glory to God. Glory to God. As many people as there is on this earth, and as many people that's gone on before us that left here without Jesus, yet I stand before you as a born-again man knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. When naturally speaking, the odds was against me. Oh, somebody been praying somewhere. Somebody's praying, had been praying somewhere, and God reached down and touched me. And when he called me, I said, yes, sir. Amen. Glory to God. So anyway, let me finish this up. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Sometimes folk fall into the same trap that they fuss at others for falling in. In other words, you got to stay humble. And don't ever trust the flesh. Look at somebody and say, don't trust your flesh. Because the flesh, the flesh is something else. You can be talking in tongues tonight, and that flesh have you doing something ungodly tomorrow. And you got to keep it under. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to stop right here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for